Five, a very good morning to you. There's nothing really cheap about what the next guest does. In fact, it costs her and the excess Latin dance team a lot of money to do what they do. And one of the things that we'll be hearing about this morning is an appeal. There's some very good figures that I know have been given to me by my guest this morning, though, Rachel Hardesty. She's here from the XS Latin Dance Club, based here in Cambridge, specialising in Latin formation. It's nice to have you on board this morning, Rachel. Thank you very much for coming in. Welcome.
Thank you for inviting me, Phil.
How are you doing today? All right.
Yeah, I'm doing wonderfully.
When I always try and get hold of you, you said I think it was about a year ago when we last met, some of the team, some of the formation came in, some of the students here in Cambridge, actually, which you coordinate with. You've always been busy yourself because you're always out there rehearsing, saying, sorry, I can't make it this weekend, but it'll be fantastic, but I'll be along soon. And it's taken so long to get you here, so I'm really, really pleased that we were able to welcome you. I know you're a busy girl, as I mentioned on the air earlier on, going to be off to London for this afternoon. How did you first get into dancing yourself? Did you do it as a kid?
I did some ballet and that kind of thing as a kid. I think a lot of young girls do. And then I gave it up as a teenager and I didn't really think about it until I moved to Cambridge, which was in 2008 that I joined the XS Latin team, because I was looking for a new hobby and I saw an advert on the internet that said that they were auditioning new dancers. So I was a beginner back then, but I thought, well, I'll give it a go and see what it was like. And it was really fun. It was really like a free trial with the team, a couple of free lessons to see how it went, and completely loved it. So I've been doing it ever since, and I've been team captain now for about 4 years.
I think if you've done ballet before, Rachel, that's the thing, it's probably in you, isn't it? That sort of urge almost to dance, to convey some flair, to express yourself in that way through motion, through the art of dance.
Yes, I always really liked it, but I was particularly drawn to the formation because I loved being part of a team, going to competitions together, and I also really enjoyed dancing with a partner, because I think that then you can portray that kind of relationship in dance, and I find that much more personally interesting than just dancing on my own.
I suppose you can bounce off each other, male, female, in a partnership in dance. You can show elegance, a little bit romance in the dance, I suppose, in that you might not go into Strictly Come Dancing too much today, but watching it last night, you know, one of the dances was almost a love story from start to end, sort of portrayed through the motions of dance, you know, with the elegance, the grace and the romance. Is it a little bit different, perhaps, with Latin dancing, because it's, shall we say, a little bit more of an attacking beat? Or can you sometimes still get the sort of, shall we say, the kind of, should I use the word sexuality into it, but in the nicest sense of the performing art?
I like it in formation because we have a six-minute routine that runs through all five Latin dances. So there's a lot of contrast throughout the routine. So we start our current routine with a really get this party started,
right?
Shirley Bassey number,
yes,
which is really impactful. But then it changes into a rumba, which is a lot, obviously, more soft and romantic, and then changes into party samba. Later on, we get Paso Doble, which is much more aggressive. So trying to portray all these different
One little characters. Aside there, you said rumba. Now, I was going to ask you, actually, was it rumba or rumba? Because I hear some people say rumba and some people say rumba. How do we pronounce it?
I say rumba.
I always said rumba. But now I hear on the television, they keep saying we're going to be doing the rumba.
Different regional accents, I suppose.
So, obviously, are in a dance form in this particular... I mean, obviously, we've got the foxtrot, we've got many of the jive, everything. You do a little bit of jiving, I notice. But Latino dancing, originally from Argentina, was a particular South American country from
The different dances vary from where they're from. So, some of them are from Cuba. Actually, jive is American. And Argentine tango, obviously, is from Argentina, but we don't tend to do that.
You're a formation? Both an A team and a B team. We'll look at the B team in a little while with you. I've met some members as well from the B team before. How many in the troupe normally in the actual formation? How many of you dance?
There's 16 people, 8 couples who actually compete as part of each team. But we have more people who train with us because we have reserves. So on the A team at the moment, we have about 24 people who come to training regularly. And we have more than that on the B team at the moment.
So the A team with the reserves, are they B team people that you can sort of, if you like, promote? It's a bit like a game of football or rugby league, isn't it, where you go up and down. Is that where the reserves would come from, to the A team?
Yes, it's very, very common for people to start on the B team, and then as they get better, they progress up. We have a lot of beginners on the B team.
Now, you've been having a bit of a fundraising exercise, Rachel. It's one of the reasons you wrote to me, actually, which was really lovely to hear from you. You're having actually a really good time in terms of the results. Why are you needing to raise some money at the moment?
So at the moment, we're coming to the end of our routine. We keep a routine for 2 years, which is the norm in formation dancing, because it takes a long time to develop the choreography and the music, and it's quite expensive because you need new music and new costumes every time. So in January, we'll start training with our new routine, which is still a secret. We don't know what it is. None of us know what it is apart from our coach, who will tell us after our final competition this season. And in the past, we've always developed our music ourselves, and most of our international competitors have an advantage over us because most of them are attached to big clubs, for example, in Germany, where formation dancing is very popular, and they get their music orchestrated specifically for them by formation music developing specialists, and then they have their music recorded for them by an orchestra in a studio, and it's all wonderful and sounds amazing, and it gives them complete freedom over what themes they do and what music rhythms they can develop. And we've never been able to do this in the past, so this has been a dream for us and our coach for years, like 15 years. So we're trying to raise money to develop new music for the new routine this way.
And you'll be able to go along to a recording studio working with a sound engineer and decide for yourselves exactly. Would you, before you turn up to do that, decide the content? You were talking about Shirley Bassey earlier on. So before, you were actually dancing to Shirley Bassey, her music, and the soundtrack.
Yeah.
But now it means that you can work on your own rearrangement of a score, musical score?
Yeah, yes, it means that you can use any music from any artist. Obviously, if you were going to try and connect different songs together, then if you have an orchestra to do it, then it means that it runs much more smoothly.
So hopefully you'll get that recorded very soon then, Rachel.
Well, I hope so, because we need to start dancing to it in January. So the goal is to do it by then.
A local recording studio to do that? Will you be heading off to somewhere like London?
It would be a German producer who we've heard some of his work. He's done a lot of the music for some of the top German teams. So we would be hoping to work with him. He's agreed to work with us if we can fundraise enough.
And will some of you go over to Germany to watch him do this?
Our coach certainly will. Yeah,
fantastic. It is exciting. Because I love sound recording studios, I love radio, that kind of thing. But obviously the aspect of it, which I'd most enjoy myself, of course. So as a group, you've got, as we're talking about the A team and the B team. The same coach for the A team as for the B team? David Malibon is the coach involved with the B team, I know that.
Yes, he runs both. He also runs the Cambridge University team. He's very dedicated. There's a couple of A team people who also help out with the B team to take some of the load off, so if he needs a night off, then we'll help out. But yeah, mostly it's David's baby.
You're from all sorts of walks of life. May we ask what your day job is, Rachel, when you're not dancing?
My day job, I'm a hydrogeologist. Most people don't know really what that is.
Something to do with water and rocks, I would say.
Yeah. So I do a lot of work with water companies and the Environment Agency and that kind of thing.
Yeah. And others in the team, where, you know, sort of everything from a gardener to a shopkeeper to a...
Yes, completely varied. A lot of people are graduates from Cambridge or current students of Cambridge, but not everyone. I went to Oxford, which I'm still trying to live down.
That's okay. Welcome over to the lighter blue side anyway, from the darker blue side. We won't call them dark side in Oxford, obviously. So it's very good that, pardon me, that you're still are getting involved with this. And so in previous years, I mean, last year, we were talking about Shirley Bassey being the theme. The girl from Tiger Bay was your presentation that you did for 2014 into 2015. Do you know yet what you're going to be called, or is it still a secret as to what you're
No one knows. David doesn't tell us until we've competed for the last time with our current routine, which will be early December when we're going to Vienna for the World Championships, and then he'll unveil it.
New season from 2016. You start again, I guess, in January once you've known about the new music and the theme you're going to be using. So you don't really give yourself a break, do you, across the year, folks?
We get about 3 weeks off in December.
Grow a little bit fatter on the Christmas puddings and the turkey before you all start again. Anybody that's interested, that's listened to this so far, obviously the B team is probably going to be the place where you start. You were talking about when you went along that you got a couple of free lessons. Is that how you do things?
Yes, there'll be a castings audition session in January when we are looking for new members, especially for the B team. And that will be advertised on our website, which is xs.org. And everyone's welcome to come along. You don't need to bring a partner. It will just run like a normal session. We'll teach a little bit of the B team choreography and put people in small groups to try it out. And see if you want to come and join us.
And the A team and the B team, do you work together in the same sort of dance studio, if you like, the same building? What sort of venue do you use?
No, the A team train in Milton, in a sports hall there. So we train on Mondays and Wednesdays, and the B team train on Thursdays. And their venue is often in Milton, but it switches between two different venues.
Do you socialise with each other, A and B meets, and have a big Christmas party or something?
Yeah, we're having a Christmas dinner. We have a team dinner once a year. We go to a lot of the same competitions together. So, yeah, we're all good friends.
You share the same coach. I mean, how do you get to these places? I mean, I can go through the list here. Obviously, not just here in the UK. I'll give the listeners the idea. The 2014 British Open Championships in, yes, Blackpool. You'd guess that would be there. You've ended up in Stoke-on-Trent at the UK Formation Championships in 2014. Again, back in Blackpool for the British National Championships. Then you start travelling. You've been to the World Latin Formation Championships last year as well in Bremen in Germany. To the Donau Pokal, if I get that name right, von Mies, probably not. My Austrian's not too good. As you guessed, the capital, Vienna. I mean, who funds all the travel costs for and hotel bills and things like that?
Well, we're self-funded, so everyone pays their own transport costs. In some of the international competitions, the competition organiser pays for our accommodation, so that helps a bit. But otherwise, everyone just has to pay for themselves, really.
Several times a year, you seem to get to Blackpool.
Yeah, twice a year. We're going on Thursday, in fact, for this year's national championships.
The British Open Champions, that?
Closed. So it's just ones. British teams. Yeah, just British teams on Thursday.
So Open Championships would be attracting to international teams to come along to Blackpool.
Yeah.
And the closed ones just for the British Isles, really, for you people. How many other teams, therefore, will you be competing? You're 13th in the world when it comes to international rankings and ratings.
Yes.
So how many other teams you'll be pitching in against in Blackpool and the closed ones?
In Blackpool, there will be 10 teams, which is a lot. Yeah, the numbers have been increasing, which is encouraging. And I don't know how many teams this year will be in Vienna yet, but it's probably going to be about 20, I think.
So do you have to qualify to get to that stage, to actually get to the venues?
You don't have to qualify to go to Blackpool, but when you dance at Blackpool, that's the qualifier for the foreign competitions. So the top two English teams will be invited to go and represent England.
And then is it through heats then, Rachel? So you end up sort of, first of all, you've got to get through your semis and then your quarters and then up to the final?
With 10 teams, there'll be two rounds. There'll be a semi-final, then the top six teams get recalled back to the final. The top six teams will dance again, and then they'll be ranked from 1 to 6. And the first and second place will be get the invitation.
So that means you have to have two routines, because if you go through to the second round, would you just use the same routine again?
Yeah, you'd use the same routine again.
And you have sort of a bit like Len and Darcy and a panel standing at the side there?
Yes, there's a big panel at Blackpool who all sit on the stage watching you. And especially at the Blackpool Open Championships, they're all ex-world champion dancers themselves.
So it's more than just four of them, like Bruno and etc. How many on the judging panel?
Quite often there's 11.
And do they take it so that the highest score is eliminated and the lowest score is also removed on the points, or are all the scores taken into consideration for the judges?
In the semi-final, it's scored differently in the semi-final and the final. So in the semi-final at Blackpool, then they give you a score out of 20 and all of the marks are collated, and whoever gets the highest one goes to the final, which is an unusual scoring system in dancing. And then in the final, all of the judges just rank you from 1 to 6, and then they're all collated to see who got the most firsts.
Do they point the butterpat boards up like it's a 10 from Len?
Some of the international competitions they do actually hold up cards to say where they've placed you. Yeah,
like the old come dancing days from the 1960s. I wonder if it actually came around the black and white days back in the day when it was done that way, because it's one of those kind of throwbacks from then.
Well, I'm too young to remember these.
No, I know. Well, it's certain people of a certain age. Go and have a look online to some of the old Strictly Come Dancings from years ago, when it was called come dancing in those days.
Yes.
Introduced by a certain gentleman at the BBC called Peter West. And also we're talking to the lady, Dame Peggy Spencer, who is still alive, who's a big dancing champion from the years. Now 94 and living in King's Lynn. And she gave us an interview the other week.
Oh, that's lovely.
The radio station.
Yeah, because she used to coach a formation team.
Has she ever got involved with XS?
No, not with us. But she used to coach a very, very good formation team who did very well at the World Championships years ago. Yeah.
Rachel Hardesty is here from the XS Latin formation team. We will take a break for some music and we'll have another chat with her right after Damien Rice. And this is Cannonball. Gentle acoustic version of Damien Rice and Cannonball. It's Cambridge 105. 10 minutes left before John Gannon steps up to the podium. He has his 60th scene show. He's listening next door because he's just giving us a nice merry wave. John will be with you for a couple of hours of good blasts from the past 60s tracks. Stay tuned to Cambridge 105. In the meantime, though, we're with Rachel Hardesty from the XS Latin Dance Formation team in Cambridge. She's lucky enough to be a member of its A team. And Bat Out of Howl was something you did back in 2012-2013, Rachel. I didn't know where I was going to go next, but that's what I pulled out of the bag. It was actually, I think, what was it, your 10th routine? 10th year, probably, doing competition at national and international level. Now, when I think of Bat Out of Howl, obviously I'm thinking of Meatloaf. How do you sort of, obviously it was done, I sort of morph that into a sort of Latino style? Because you think of Meatloaf, you think of rock, you think of heavy guitar.
Yep.
How did it work out?
Well, it was actually the favourite routine that I've ever danced. I really love Meatloaf music, and I thought it was really impactful. And there's a lot of percussion that you can add to the music that changes it into a Latin beat. But I thought it worked very well.
Is it because of the effervescence and the energetic nature of a routine like that? Perhaps more energetic?
I think it was just very dramatic, and it just brought, like, I really love Pasodoble, it's my favourite Latin dance, so it really brought out all of my desire to perform to the huge venues that we go to.
The women were dressed in heavily stoned red costumes with a large draping sleeve, whilst the men wore tunic shirts stoned with a bat logo.
Yes.
Who gets to sort of put these costumes together? Who gets to sort of sew things together? Do you have a costumier?
We have a costume mistress, yes. Her name's Diane. So she's one of the longest standing members of the team.
Morning, Diane, if she's listening out there. One of the most important roles, isn't it, after all?
Yes, she works very closely with David to develop costumes that suit the theme that we're going to have. So she'll be having fun soon.
She gets to measure you all up, just check your waist size and your leg size and get everybody together. The male, obviously, costumes as well as the female ones.
Yes.
So have somebody talented like that to be able to do that. Does she spend her time then just at home sewing these things up for you all?
We would buy the costumes, but they would usually need quite a lot of adaptation.
Pulling in or letting out?
Pulling and letting out, but also adding all of the crystals that we have to add. That's quite time-consuming. But the B team had a new routine last year, and their costumes were made for them by a lady who lives in the Midlands. So, she runs a company called DC Dancewear, and working with her was really lovely as well.
So if you would go to the rest of Europe, maybe, if you go to Austria or Vienna, often you'll go to a brand new venue, I guess, that you all need to get familiar with. Do you get time to rehearse in the venue?
Yes. Before you compete internationally, there's regulations on how long they have to give you a rehearsal. It's usually not very long. It's usually only about 15 minutes.
My goodness. Yeah. So if you've got a six-minute routine then, Rachel, you'll end up, what, probably doing that twice, just about?
Yeah, you have to run through it once to music because the organisers are obliged to check that it meets all of the rules that you have to have for a formation routine, because there's rules on how long it can be and that kind of thing. And because you're making patterns with your teammates, when you get into a new hall, you'd be working out where the centre of the hall is, where the 1 metre, 2 metre, 3 metre markers are, so that you know where you're supposed to be on the floor relative to everyone else.
Now, is the dancing ballroom always the same size? A bit like a football pitch or a rugby pitch? Is it sort of so many metres by so many metres? Or can you find variations depending on where you're going?
Internationally, the venue size, the number of seats varies, but the floor size is quite standard. So it's usually about 16 metres by 16 metres. But in England, it can be smaller, quite commonly it's smaller.
So 16 metres by 16 metres for 16 of you. So actually, it's not a lot of room, really. To me, anyway, I don't know. I mean, you're going to say, oh, no, we make the most of the space.
Well, I suppose our routines are designed to fit on that kind of size floor, so that's fine. The smallest venues sometimes are quite problematic. We did a demonstration a few weeks ago, at Trinity College, and the floor size there was only 3 metres deep, so that was really difficult.
Wow.
So we couldn't dance the whole team, we danced five couples.
So about your crowdfunding campaign, we haven't got too much time left. I think I joined it yesterday, sort of snatched in and saw that you were up to about 77%. You've got a new higher figure. You're up to, I think you said, you know, up to 87% last time you looked. Was it higher than that now?
Yeah, it's higher than that now. We're very excited indeed about how much support we've been receiving and how generous everyone's been being. It's wonderful. So as of last night, we were exactly halfway through the campaign and we've reached 95% now. So we are looking for about another £700 to meet our goal.
So this will pay for the costumes for everybody?
Yes, it will pay for the new music. And it will really be very exciting plans for the next year.
And you can formulate something ready for January.
Yeah.
Brand new launch or something.
Yeah, so
I hope that you're obviously going to aim high. You go around Europe. Have ever been anywhere further than Europe with the team?
No, we haven't. The furthest we've been really is Moscow, which was in 2010.
That's right. There's a little picture if anybody wants to go and have a look on the website of yours, which shows you actually performing there in 2010. And if anybody wants to find out some more about the organisation, Rachel, that they've heard a little bit of inspiration this morning, and want to get fit, exercise, come along, have some free sessions for you. How could they contact you?
Yes, if anyone would like to come along and see if it's for them, or if anyone would like to support our campaign or share the link, then there is more information on our website, which is www.xslatin.org. That's the letters XS, which stands for ex-student.
Oh, ex-student. I thought XS as in sort of almost excess dancing.
Oh, some people think it stands for extra small. But
ex-student, okay.
Yeah.
But you're not all necessarily ex-students?
No, not all of us, but it was set up originally by ex-students of Cambridge University.
And the name stuck. And it's a good branding too. So XS, the B team, is probably where you'd set out initially. And they're based in Cambridge, coached by David Malibon, as you heard earlier on. He's a licentiate member of the Imperial Society of Teachers of Dancing, which I'd never heard of before. It sounds a bit like the ancient odd fellows of order, or order of the Royal Antediluvian of whatevers. But training sessions take place once a week on Thursdays at either Milton Community Centre or North Cambridge Academy, hereby or nearby to us where we are, nearby to you, no doubt. From 8 o'clock till 10 o'clock every Thursday evening. Are sessions already underway? Can people go along this coming Thursday evening?
It would be best now, if people wanted to try it out, then it would be best to wait until January, because that's when we'll have our casting session for new members, because at the moment both teams are training for the National Championships next week and the World Championships in 2 weeks.
Fantastic. And that website again is xslatin.org. Rachel, thank you very much for spending some time with us today, given that you're off to London now. You're going to be doing a little demonstration for a group down there this afternoon.
Yes, we're off to London at 1:30 to do a rehearsal for a demonstration we'll be doing this evening at the Russian Ball. It's in a hotel in Park Lane, so that should be lovely.
So I've heard of it. In fact, I think you've got some pictures of this actually before on your website. I think last year when we spoke to some of you, we're going off to this. It's an annual event, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, it's been running for 3 years now.
Red carpety sort of type
yes,
of event?
Yes,
glamour and glitz.
It was in the Royal Albert Hall 3 years ago.
And that's a charity fundraiser, I think, isn't it?
Is yes, yes, and they have an auction for charity.
Fantastic. I think you'd look very regal and glamorous all dressed up. We'll have to see some more photographs of that one
day.
Thank you. Stay in touch with Cambridge 105, Rachel. Let us know how it goes.
Yep.
It's been fantastic having you with us this morning.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
It's Rachel Hardesty from the XS Latin Dance Formation team here in Cambridge.
It's the Cambridge Quiz on Cambridge 105.
So that's just about it from us. Just time to give you the answers to the Cambridge quiz this morning. Some very humorous ones. Thank you to Neil earlier on for his little doggy answer to one of our questions. We asked you this morning, Cambridge's much maligned guided busway is having a positive impact on commuters' health, with more people doing what since it opened in 2011? And we're not talking about anything like stilt walking or anything like that. It was a nice simple answer, actually. Cycling to work. So they're all getting a little bit fitter. We also said who was the new manager of Cambridge United in our second question this morning. And if you remember, he was appointed the early part of last week. Joining the club to manage the players is Sean Derry. He comes to us from Nottingham. And the top five most seized dog breeds in Cambridge have been revealed, and which breed is at number one? Not surprising, perhaps, to some people, but the Staffies. That's the Staffordshire Bull Terriers. Can't tell you how many exactly have been taken away from their owners. But that's it. We have to take the airwaves away from Sunday breakfast. John Gannon standing by with the 60s scene. You can catch Polish Waves as well from 1 o'clock this afternoon. And classical music time for aficionados of that genre from 2 o'clock this afternoon. It's Opus 105. Thanks very much to producer Michelle, to Susie Thorpe, as always, to our guest Rachel Hardesty. And I'll be back with the Wednesday mid-morning show. You have a great day. Take care of yourselves. And we'll catch you soon. Bye for now.
This is Community Radio in your city, Cambridge 105.